Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God loves us, and His return is very soon, and He is moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord, my God and King. I love the fact that Jesus will return and take us with Him. And I thank God that He is in control. And I love Him, and I want Him to guide me throughout my life, help me be effective. My biggest prayer these days is to be effective, to do the things that should be done. See, when we yield to Him and we allow Him to work, operate through us, He give us His plans. They work. The plans of God work, and there are no limits. We are not limited people. The Lord blessed us to operate just like He does. Just like Jesus followed the Father, we should follow Him and yield ourselves to the Father, just like Jesus did. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means that there's nothing out there that can take you down if you do that. All things means all things. And that in itself must be received with revelation. We have to receive the Word of God for it to become revelation. And the biggest problem that I see, the Lord told me that, the biggest problem is His people don't follow Him. And when we don't follow Him completely, we're limiting Him and what He can do in us. When actually all limitations is an illusion of our mind. In other words, if you receive God's word, you can renew your mind to the point that you can do things that many would say is impossible. But when you study the word of God, men of God always did the impossible. Elijah was made to outrun the king's chariot, which is not easy. Samson killed 1,000 men with a donkey jawbone. You know, one of David's men threw a spear through 300 men. Now, David killed a giant with a slingshot and a stone. Then he cut his head off with his own sword. He took Goliath's sword and cut his head off with it. So, in other words, we are mighty in Him. We can be mighty emotionally. We can be mighty financially. We can be mighty in spirit. We can be mature. We're enabled every way you look at it. We have the fruits of the Spirit. Since we got a renewed spirit, our spirit man is renewed, and the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, temperance, all these things are in us. You don't have to make yourself you don't have to muster strength to come up with the fruits of the Spirit. They are already there. You just have to give way. You have to go by it. And that takes a renewed mind. In other words, if you can yield, you can always operate in the fruits of the Spirit. The only way to be fully mature is to operate according to the fruits of the Spirit. First with revelation. Receive the revelation of it. And then the dedication, being dedicated to do it. And it becomes a way of life. Now, everything is fueled by the Word of God. If we don't receive His Word, we won't believe. If we don't believe, then we can't do greater works than Jesus. You know, the Lord expects us to do greater works than Jesus did. He gave us so much, and we can do something with it. We're not limited anymore. Unlimited are we. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And He cares about us. And He's with us. Not only can we do all things through Christ who strengthens us, He can train us. He can train us to do the things of God. Now, in my life, I had to make some choices. The Lord kept giving me revelation. And I tried to share it. You would think it would be easy to share it. But the Lord he helped me to he gave me so much revelation for years, writings, and I did like most people. I wrote it down in a notebook. I had notebooks full of writings, and one day I let a friend of mine read one. He said, "Man, type this up and give me a copy of it." So when I typed it up, I got it typed up, and I went and made 100 copies, and I gave him one. Well, the same week, my uncle died, and I let one of my cousins read it because I had 99 copies in the truck, and I gave him one. He said, "Man, get pass this out to the family because this will encourage the family since Uncle Harry died." So I said, "That's a good idea," and I passed it out. Well, guess what? As soon as I was faithful, God gave me another one. So when I went to church, I passed some out. And then every time God gave me one, every Sunday I'd pass them out. They used to call me the mailman. Well, the revelation never stopped coming. But I saw the needs of the people. And I would give them to my customers. I had a lot of customers. And those that I could, that would receive it, I'd give them one. And faithfulness. When you're faithful with something God give you, He'll give you more to be faithful with. And that's how Live and Letter Ministries happened. I mean, it was just, he even gave me a word called multiplying by faithfulness. He said many times people are not faithful because they don't begin to be. So you got to do something with what God give you. But when you do, it's mighty. It's not limited. I've had friends, I've given them writings years ago, and they're cleaning up, or they run across it, they read it, and it's relevant to that day. Only God can do that. That's why they're called living letters. Now, I didn't know what to call them. The Lord gave me that. He gave me Living Letter Ministries, and I knew what to do. And He gave me writings that were more, not just poems, but they were living letters. And my mother said they were sermons. I had an obstacle. I never really preached in church as much. And I did at first, but most of my ministry was outside the church. And that's just the way it's been. And that's probably the way it'll be. Which is fine with me. As long as I'm serving God, I don't care. And I stopped trying to preach in churches a long time ago, because it became they didn't want you to, so I stopped worrying about it. Because with God, God wants to be invited. He wants people to want Him around. And if He sent a messenger and the people don't want Him, then God don't, you know, He don't. I have plenty of messages and outlines that God gave for churches, but when I wasn't welcome to preach them, I said, "Lord, what's going on?" I didn't expect that. I thought that preachers would want people to go forward. But I ran into obstacles, and the Lord taught me what was going on. There's so much Cain jealousy. And it's in the body of Christ, and it's limiting what God can do. And a lot of things God is holding back because of it. And I know this, and it's going to be that way. If people don't follow Him from the heart, then a lot of things are just not going to happen. So you have to go. You have to grow beyond. We're mighty in Him. We don't need props and crutches, and we have Jesus Christ. He has so many ways to do a thing, and when He has to, He will, and it's always effective. So, you know, instead of becoming bitter and having a bad attitude, I said, "Lord, what do I do?" He taught me how to love His people, so it was natural for me to love people and excuse what was happening when it was obvious. You know, my eyes are open, I know. But he never stopped moving. That's why I say the Lord is all, when people go cold, God is still on fire. And He finds people that want to be on fire. And He will use people that want to, he goes where He's welcome. So when people welcome him, God can move in your life. God has so many ways to do the same thing. It's amusing. But I know for a fact when people don't do things according to the Spirit of God, then the Lord, he takes his hands off of it. He'll use people where they're faithful. But where they're not faithful, if they don't yield to him and become faithful, then they'll never know him in the next glory. They'll know him from old glories. And they don't move forward. And it's a tragedy, because I know for a fact the mightiest man of God could do so much more. And anybody that'll yield to him, anybody, any Christian that's blood washed, that will yield to the Lord, they can do anything through Christ. They can do great things. And when people think that a ministry, men look at numbers and finances and prestige, you know, they look, things like that make men Google-eyed, you know. But that's not, the heart of God is what God is after. People that can yield to him, people that want to know him, people that will obey him. That's what gets God's attention. And then he will mightily move in their lives. And the Lord will not build on a weak foundation. You have to be mighty in him. You have to be, if you, anybody that'll be like David, that's just a choice. It's not hard. In fact, it's easier. It's easier to be like David, and it's wiser to be like David. And it's better to be like David than to be like Saul. You know, the spirit of Saul is in the church. And that's why I can't go forward. That's why God left him behind. People talk about being left behind in the rapture. Well, spiritually speaking, a lot of Christian people are left behind now because they don't obey him. They don't yield to him. They don't ask. When things went wrong, David asked the Lord why. That was a drought. He said, "Lord, why is this?" And then he said that the Gibeonites broke covenant with, you know, Saul broke covenant with the Gibeonites. Now he could fix it. And then he made things right, and then the rain came back. But now, when there's a spiritual drought, people think it's okay. Well, I guess we just doing all I know to do. I know you're doing all you know to do, and it's not going to work. Old glories won't do what God can do for now. You have to go forward, and he has to show you what to do. That's just the way it is. So the reason I'm bringing this up is not to bash Christians, but people are people. And they see things how they see things. And they feel like that what they're doing is right. And you can argue with them, you can try to point it out, but that none of that will work. Because if people don't ever get it to learn to live from the heart and keep God first, And make adjustments. See, our ideas slow us down. When we think that it's got to be this way or that way or the way we expect, we're limiting God. And when the Lord sent ministers, I see a lot of ministers that's just dormant. They're not doing anything. I used to go to church and I see, and all throughout the 80s and 90s, a lot of churches, a lot of men were called to the ministry, and they were not being used. They were sitting on the front row, and they preach maybe once or twice a year. That's sad. In my opinion, that was sad back then, and it's sad right now. And you got people out there hurting. You got people contemplating suicide. You got children that's been molested. All kind of stuff. And the minister sitting on the front row, dormant. And people are hurting. I knew they was hurting. Because, you know, when I worked on people's cars, they would talk. And all kind of things happened to people. And you had ministers at every church back then. For every pastor, he had at least five ministers. And he didn't, you know, they wasn't teaching Sunday school. It's sad. And, you know, some of them were good godly men too that sought the Lord. And guess what? Whenever they going to be the pastor, then guess what people do? They do what the predecessors do. And that's sad. I said, Lord, it's got to be a better way. And I felt, you know, I said, Lord, you give me all this revelation. I don't have a platform to give it away. And so when he started giving me writings, then I started using it. I started passing them out. And people are so weak, they would only read like the one pagers. Sometimes God would give me a page and a half or two pages. And the most mature people would read them. But the one pages really edified people. And it was new to them. Christians don't like things to be the way they understand it or the way they're used to it. And that's how people are. They'll listen to the pastor no matter what he does is right. And it's hard for people to listen to other ministries unless somebody they trust or looked up to listen to them. So if the pastor don't listen, if he don't like them, they won't even give him a chance. Now the Proverbs tell them not to judge. You have to at least hear things out before you make a judgment. But people, I've known people to be that where they're going to stick to what they think they know. But I gave a lot of those writings out. I had more success with people that were, Christians that were strong in the Lord. They were looking for them. They were looking for me to bring another one. And the Lord, there are golden people out there that's just a wonderful. They're on fire for God. And then you have people that would get jealous. You know, they'll limit God because of that. And sometimes people can't even read. I ran into people, I realized they couldn't read. And then there are people that want to know. When I was passing out the good newsletter, I used to put him on the front porch, and the guy heard me at his front door leaving a letter. He came out ready to fight. He said, "What you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm just passing those out." And he got it and read it. He said, "Oh, man, that's good. Thank you." You meet all kinds of people. I love people. So when people are rude or if they're obnoxious, that's all right. People are going to be people until they receive what God says. And they're worth it. They need to know God. And that's all I wanted to do and accomplish. And then, you know, I didn't want to sell my stuff. Jesus said, "Freely I give, freely you give." So I never sold anything that God gave. I was going to do a book. Books are easier. You can sell them, and they're in bookstores. People will go buy them. If it's a bestseller, a lot of people will buy them. And this is a tool, but I really wanted to give it away anyway. I didn't want to sell it. So with modern technology, I put it on the web, and everything I write is free. And I want something out of it, though. This is what I want, and this is what I sold for. I made it available, but I prayed and I said, "Lord, what I want in return, I want you to cause people to receive from me. As many as possible." He gave me a commission. He said, "Let not my people lack knowledge." And if you're not well known, and you have to go another way. You can't always go like the world. If you have a platform, do something outstanding, write a book that becomes a bestseller. You're on the stage. You got a platform. You know, people will buy your books and listen to you. But what I do, I know the Lord. He can do so many things another way. He can move in our lives if we use our faith and believe him for it. Now, I look at the world. The world is running out of time. People are hurting. I don't have time to wait on people to get on board. And I decided a long time ago, I will not wait another day on anybody to do, help me do what God told me to do. I'll help them, but I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm, you know, that's the position I took. I saw the bureaucracy. And there's no reason to get in strife, because they fell into a trap. If somebody fall into a trap, you don't hate them because they fell into a trap. This trap, you know, Satan is smarter than people, and he know how to manipulate people, and he know how to undo things, and he know how to keep things stifled. So he'll use anything that you don't drive out of your heart that's wrong against you, against God, and against what you're trying to do. So I said, Lord, show me how to do what you want done. And I believe you. I got faith. I believe you for things that I want. Now I believe him for things that he want. And I said, you show me what to do, I'll do it. And that's the position I took. Another thing, I worked with a ministry. I was a small church, and in smaller churches, if you have any skill, they'll use every one of them. And Jesus got lost in the business of the ministry. Now, I was still drawing near to the Lord and learning, but I was teaching Sunday school, and I was very busy in this ministry for about 4 years. Back in the early 2000s, before I came to Victory Christian Fellowship. And one day I was at my mother's house before she moved, and me and my sister was talking about Revelation, and we just had a good time in the Lord. I said, this is how ministry is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a work where you forget you forget about what's important. And then I made a decision. I said, I'll never let ministry be in front of my relationship with God again. I'm going to keep God first, and ministry is going to be ministry. I'm not being rude, but you can knock yourself out trying to do ministry work and forget, in your relationship with the Lord become second place. And I said, that's a trap. That's the trap people fall in. See, I like to know how things work and why. Then I can do something about it. I can't do something about everything. I can't make people choose something just because I see something. And I don't even know how to go about it most of the time, unless the Lord showed me what to do. And he won't do that unless they're receptive. So, you know, I love people. I want to be a good friend, and a good friend will say something. So I don't always know how to do it, but these things are there. Now, I'm saying this for people who are going through the same things. People have fallen into a trap, a rut, and they really don't know how to get out of it. But the only way that'll get them, the only thing that can get them out is more light. Keep following God, and the Lord will cause you to do something. If they are humble, if they will humble themselves, then the Lord will give them enough light and show them how to get out of it. But I know this for a fact. They got to overcome all the rudiments of the world that have held them back. What people have been doing is receiving the word and growing. But they're just like Israel. They don't drive out the Canaanites. You have to. You can't just grow up. You have to receive God's word. It has to have roots in you. Then you'll see, as the Lord reveals to you, things that's holding you back. You have to do something about it. Anything that's not of God, lust, for instance, you have to drive it out of your life, all the way out of your life, to the point that you hate it. Because I like Steve Quayle's definition. The Lord told him that lust is the appetite of demons on people, on humans. That appetite never came from God. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-man. It's not, you know, you can't live with lust. That's that's why he made the tree in the midst of the garden, told man not to touch it. You have to be able to say no to things. And it's all right. But looking at something, desiring something to make you whole that's not God is idolatry. And the way the Lord taught me to kill lust is love. Love the person. See them as a person. Love the person. And it's impossible to lust after somebody you care about. And then if it's greed, if that's a problem, learn to give. Be a blessing to people. Go about doing good. You'll stop being greedy. You'll see the rewards and blessings of being a blessing. And if a person's excessively greedy, they turn into a hoarder. And a hoarder's house is very unfunctional. It's full of junk. Life is intended to go perfect. And the things of darkness lead you away from the perfection of God. And it'll be impossible to come back because it takes the strength of God's word in you to come back, to bounce back, to come out of darkness. And it's not easy for anybody that falls into those traps. If they never saw better, they're not going to do better. But when you start doing what God told you to do, and when people see more light, they'll come out of the traps. But guess what? Because of hardness of heart, God is hiding what he's doing from people that won't follow him. Just like he did Israel. He blinded them. This is nothing new. And I knew this a long time ago. He's going to always do that. Because he, to the froward, he'll show himself froward. To the humble, he'll show himself, you know, to those that submit themselves, God will show himself kind to them. But a proud man can't, you know, God's going to hide his face from him. Especially when they know better. So, and then don't expect the Holy Spirit to build on top of a demonic foundation. It won't happen. And all the pastors I mentioned earlier, they one day in the presence of God, they're going to have to give an account for how they treated the ministers that they had and what they did. And I know that too. And it's not, you know, when you go to heaven, you'll see things as it really is. If you go in God's presence, you're going to start learning things as it really is, not how people portray it. It's how it really is. God is, he deals with what really is. And some of the things that I had to write were not the kind of stuff that people would want to hear, but medicine that'll save your life don't always taste good. But it'll save your life. But it tastes terrible. So is the word of God. But when you receive it, you heal. You receive the word, you heal. You don't, it's like Greg Hoser said one time, if you're wrong and you know you're wrong, repent. Then you don't have to be wrong anymore. So the limitations fall off your life when you receive what God is saying. And when you take him at his word, then the Lord can work. He's always done this. Before he did that mighty salvation through Gideon had to take his father's idols and turn them over. Before God did a mighty work through Jephthah told, he made the people promise, if I deliver you, will you follow me? Will you follow what I'm doing? And they agreed. They had to get rid of that Cain jealousy. And God's people are no different. They were men of God too. And they did mighty works. But first of all, you have to follow him. You have to be one with the will of God. And you have to do it on purpose, with dedication and in love. I don't know another formula. There is no magic formula. You have to follow God. And he'll build you up spiritually, emotionally, mentally, He'll give you, if you, and it's going to take his mighty power to do this. And if you don't receive what he's saying, it's not going to happen. He's not going to put a revival on top of junk. And people never think to go before the Lord. Okay, I got these ministers here. What can I do with them? What is your, they don't even ask the Lord, Lord, what is your plan for them? How can I help? You can't make a person do something, but you can at least ask the Lord, how can they help this ministry? How can I help them? How can they be prepared? And nobody cares. They don't. I mean, it's just not a thing. You just let them sit there on the front row or wherever they want to sit. You know, this is, I grew up watching this go on. I said, if I was a pastor and they would come, I would try to get them on board with something. It's too much to do for somebody to sit on the front row or sit on the pulpit and just be a conductor once a week. And this used to frustrate me. I'm not frustrated now. I'm just exposing the problems that hold people back. And then their wives are there. Their wives are, you know, they're seeing their husbands being basically slighted. What, I mean, the whole thing. And then they want to be dedicated. And I seen it all. You know, I've been to church all my life. I know what happened. And some people don't want to do it. I get that. Some people, they just want to hide in church. And they don't really want to go out and do anything else. That's, I mean, that's better than nothing. But if I, you know, I would try to get people on board with God.